RAC's Post-Op Podcast is brought to you with the compliments of the Royal Australasian College of Surgeons and leading financial services organisation, the Bongiorno National Network, the preferred choice for medical professionals across Australia. Technological advancement in robotics has allowed better access in removing hard-to-get-to back-of-the-throat cancers. Dr. Sam Douthwaite was a keynote speaker this year at the College's RACS Queensland Annual State Meeting, where he discussed the Transoral Robotic Surgery, or TORS, program, which has been operating in Queensland since 2013. Dr. Douthwaite is an ENT surgeon at Gold Coast University Hospital and senior lecturer at Griffith University. He explains to Chris Ashmore the benefits of TORS in a moment, but first, he discusses how the procedure's early development, like a lot of medical procedures, came from military necessity.
It was to try and remove surgeons from the front line of war and to get them off the battlefield. So this development of a slave and master type of concept where the surgeon would operate a robot which is docked at the patient was developed with that in mind. And then its broader application in day-to-day surgery was initially by the cardiac surgeons, but not widely adopted, and then more so picked up by urologists and the general surgeons. Now its application into head and neck surgery, and specifically transoral robotic surgery, was the brainchild of one of the residents who was working in Philadelphia with Greg Weinstein and Bert O'Malley, who were really the two pioneers of transoral robotic surgery, TORS. And that was back in the 2000s. And since then, they've really been the pivotal group that has been involved in initially animal studies and then human studies and feasibility studies and the development of what we now know as our standardized techniques.
But it really gets into those places that are too fiddly for the surgeon's hands, is that right?
That's right. So along those lines, the benefits to both the patient and the surgeon are numerous. The patient can have a surgical option which doesn't have a lot of the morbidity associated with our traditional surgical approaches, which are generally through the soft tissues and bony tissues of the head and neck region, which can carry a lot of morbidity and functional impact with regards to both swallowing and speech, but then also cosmetic impact. And then for the surgeon has a lot of benefits with regards to improved access, as you said, into areas which are difficult to reach, both in the upper aerodigestive tract, so the swallowing passage and around the larynx, and indeed into the interface with the upper esophagus. So with magnification, 3D imagery, and the ability to look in and around corners with angled endoscopes, that access is unparalleled. The robot also affords the ability to filtrate tremor and to scale movements and improve the surgical access into those important areas around the throat, which have important neurovascular structures running immediately within the surgical field. So from a patient safety perspective and ergonomics from the surgeon's perspective, there are a lot of advantages.
Well, these days, are there any alternatives to that surgery?
There are more traditional transoral techniques, such as transoral laser microsurgery, which have been used now for many years, and also traditional just transoral techniques using headlights and traditional surgical instruments. But a lot of those techniques are restricted somewhat by your instrumentation and also line of sight issues, which the robot is able to overcome. And then in the setting of, I suppose, moving away from surgical techniques to treat these malignancies within the upper aerodigestive tract, the alternatives go to radiation and chemoradiotherapy, which can carry morbidity for the patient.
Well, is there a circumstance where you wouldn't use transoral robotic surgery?
There are, particularly with lesions. The principle of this type of surgery is that the types of cancers that we're resecting need to be resectable, and that is on-block resection with clear surgical margins. So any cancer within these head and neck subsites that we don't assess as being able to be resected on block with clear surgical margins are generally not transoral robotic surgical candidates. And then there's some more broadly recognised restrictions with regards to patient age, which were along the lines of the initial FDA guidelines, which we've employed in our own practice here as well with regards to the use of the robot. So we avoid it in the paediatric population as well.
Well, it's widely used to remove cancers at the base of the tongue and the tonsils, but can it be used for other treatments?
It can be used in other malignancies of the aerodigestive tract. It can be used for tumours which sit in the supraglottic area, so just above the vocal cords, as well as the vocal cords themselves. We have used it for laryngeal malignancies and certainly removal of the larynx in a small number of cases with appropriate indications. And then there are a host of non-malignant indications which are really based around obstructive sleep apnea patients and other benign lesions of the upper aerodigestive tract where the robot can be used effectively.
Well, how widely adopted is its use in Australia and New Zealand, but particularly in Queensland, where you're from? How has this treatment been developed and taken up by surgeons, and what challenges have been overcome to take it up?
We began our transoral robotic surgical program back in July of 2013. The initial challenges were with regards to gaining access to the robot. There were only a certain number within the state. Initially, this was at Greenslopes Private Hospital, and they were being extensively used by the urologists at the time. So getting physical access onto the robot was one issue that we needed to overcome. We were very ably supported by some of our southern colleagues who had been using the technology for a couple of years in Australia already. So they came up and helped proctor our initial cases. And then as the access to the robot over the last few years has improved with regards to more robots being available throughout the state, then those initial access issues have been overcome and our own experience has grown. The issues that we've encountered along the way is the appropriate training of both the surgical staff as well as auxiliary sort of nursing staff as well. They all require training on the robot, knowing how to use the robot intraoperatively and troubleshoot problems. So that's required a degree of, I suppose, application from the surgical staff perspective as well. And it's taken time. And we've also required a lot of foresight from our public hospital administrators as well, because the robots in Queensland have been widely within the private sector available, but within the public sector, not so much. The hospitals within Brisbane now, Royal Brisbane Hospital and the PA Hospital, both have public robots, but here on the Gold Coast, we don't. So we've required our Gold Coast Health Services District to have foresight with regards to the technology and the future of the technology. And pleasingly, they have, and they've been very supportive to ensure that both public and private patients who may benefit from the surgery have access to the robot.
And what are the future directions for transoral robotic surgery in Queensland and the wider region?
For us in Queensland here, we've got quite a tight-knit robotic group from an ENT perspective. We meet regularly with regards to continuing research efforts and collaboration, and I see that as the mainstay of our future in maintaining a constructive program here in the state, and that is that we pool our collective resources and continue to work together for improved patient outcomes. All of our data is collected into a central database with regards to, again, outcomes for our malignant patients, but also outcomes for our non-malignant cases. And that continuing collaboration is going to be important with regards to maintaining that cooperative approach into the future. The technology as it sits at the moment is still based on a convergence type technology, that is the robot using peripheral arms through a common aperture, and in the head and neck side, it's the opening of the mouth. And the technology which is earmarked for near in the future is a divergent technique, which is a single port where the robotic arms therefore come out and improve our access into the lower reaches of the upper aerodigestive tract. So I think this marriage of improved robotic technology, particularly with regards to a transoral single port site, is exciting and will only continue to expand our indications. The workhorse of the malignant cases for us at the moment is in human papilloma virus mediated cancers of the tonsil and tongue base, as you mentioned earlier. And the new guidelines with regards to the appropriate treatment of these patients are constantly under review, and as of next year there will be a new set of guidelines that is put out by the AJCC, the American Joint Committee on Cancer, which will therefore lead to more patients meeting indication to potentially have robotic surgery for these types of cancers. So I think we're going to see an increase in the amount of patients who are meeting our current guidelines and an improvement in the technology. And therefore, I think the future for transoral robotic surgery worldwide is very bright.
Dr. Sam Douthwaite. RAC's Post-Op Podcast is brought to you with the compliments of the Royal Australasian College of Surgeons and leading financial services organisation, the Bongiorno National Network, the preferred choice for medical professionals across Australia. You can reach the Bongiorno National Network on +613 9863 3111.